Now, who likes cremated? Whoa. Now, how many can you eat, though? This is the question. I can eat one and really enjoy it. And then I can eat a second one and think that's probably best leaving it there. And then I eat a third one and it's sickly sweet and I can't even look at a fourth one. Who thinks they could go beyond three? Right, sir, please come forward. Now, there is a wise old man that does so much of our church. He's one of our church wardens. Richard Hansen confessed to me a week or so ago that he could eat five, no problem. Where is he though? Where is he? Ah, sir, would you kindly come down and join the stage? Is it going to be an eat-off? Yes and amen. Sir, tell me your name. Martin, everyone say hello to Martin. Right, Martin, this is your side over here. Right, and we don't open yet, please, sir, don't open yet. Richard, thank you so much. I know you've got a lot on this morning. Can you, do you want 10? Right. So, okay, hang on.
Ready to go.
Martin's wearing like a sleeve. I mean, we haven't seen you this smart for quite a while, have we, Richard? So, here's the deal. It's a bit complicated, so flow with me on this. You open the box, you eat the cream eggs, the one that finishes first wins. Okay? Simple, right? Simple. No, if you think you're going to collapse, then please make your way out of the building so we're not responsible. That'd be lovely. Have we got health and safety? And we've got Ashton down here, that's fine. Right, on your marks, get set, go! I might have given them. So here's what Richard's looks like. And here's what Martin has to eat. I mean, is that cruel or is that kind? How are you going, Richard? Martin, you doing okay? You did say, did you not, I can eat five? A couple of weeks ago. How are you doing, Martin? Okay, it's close. You're on your second, and Martin's on his fifth. No stopping. No, you want to come again? You have to finish the task. Right, Richard's into his second. Martin's your second, that's fine. If you could hurry up a little bit, we've got a whole crowd here, one or two. This is a time for joy. This is the time. Do what I'm telling you. Okay, can you catch it?
Oh, right.
No, not there you go. Oh! You're right, two second rule. Okay, straight in, come on, sir, just straight in. Oh, Richard. Well, we haven't got, that would be the whole talk, really, wouldn't it? But I'm sorry, sir, you've done two. Congratulations.
Thank you.
As a prize, Martin, thank you very much for joining us on stage. It's all right, I'll clear away this. Now, was that fair? Life isn't fair sometimes, is it? And maybe that wasn't very fair on Richard. But let's consider some other examples of fairness. Let's say you got an F in your exam, but you didn't do any revision. Is that fair or unfair? Fair, yeah. A driver dents your car and then drives on. Fair or unfair? I bet you're good this morning. A footballer fakes a foul, rolling on the floor, given a penalty kick, which he scores and they win the game. Fair or unfair?
Unfair.
All right, how about, this is a religious one, if you're rushing to get to a church prayer meeting on time, I know some of you do that as well, but you get caught speeding and have to pay a fine. Is that fair or unfair?
Fair.
Yeah, even though you're coming to pray, it's still, yeah, shouldn't be speeding. Don't talk to my children. What about the cross? The cross that Jesus died on, despite doing nothing wrong. Fair or unfair? Unfair. Unfair. This is how we find the disciples and his close followers on the first Easter morning, saying it's not fair. It's not fair. What injustice. They thought they'd be with Jesus, disciples of Jesus, for years to come. But their hopes and dreams have been shattered when the Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross. Only a week ago, we're waving palm branches, praising Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. The disciples must have been thinking, how did things go downhill so quickly and so violently? How could they justify killing Jesus? Then, a bang on the door. Had the Jewish leaders found them? Was this their time? Were they about to be hung on a cross like they did to Jesus? But it's okay. Who is it? It's Mary. Mary's at the door. She and a few other women had got up early before all the others woke up to tend to Jesus' body and anoint it with oil and spices, as they were unable to do that on the Friday evening when they had laid Jesus in the burial tomb, as the Sabbath day was just about to begin. So they couldn't actually prepare Jesus' body until now. Now she's back, banging on the door. And she comes in, as the disciples open the door, she comes running in, saying, he's gone, he's gone! Jesus has gone. Somebody's taken his body, the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty. And with that, Peter and John, they're off, running through the streets of Jerusalem, where post-Sabbath bustle was starting to develop on the morning. And it's only 2 kilometres away from the house to the tomb, but it must have felt like 10 for them. And this is where we find our first Easter morning gift. The writer of this gospel account is John. John, the same John that is running to the tomb with Peter. And in amongst this incredible resurrection story, John records a race between Peter and himself to get to the tomb. Can anyone tell me who won that race? Kids, who won that race between Peter and John? Anyone? Let's worry about if I incentivize you with a special baptism egg. Who won the race between Peter? No, between John and Peter. Let's go back there. I see a hand. I see a hand. Can you tell me who won the race? John did. There we go. Well done. John won the race as I raced my body up here. John was a little younger. He was a little fitter. And he raced past Peter and beat him to the tomb. So John was the writer, the runner, and the winner. But why? Why did John record such a strange thing? He was a very humble man. So why make himself out to be the winner on this Easter morning? Does anyone know why John recorded this event? Anyone got any ideas? Why would John record this? Well, I'll tell you. And it's very quite simple. It's quite simple. It's because that's what happened. That's just what happened. 60 years after the resurrection of Jesus, John was at his writing table trying to remember every detail of what happened on that life-changing, world-changing day. It had been spoken about thousands of times, but not written down in detail. And the run to the tomb was something that John remembered. So he wrote it down. The fact that something so strange like this is recorded gives some reassurance that what has been written down about this resurrection day is true. So the race recorded between John and Peter gives us Easter, or hope, this Easter morning. The second Easter morning gift is about Mary Magdalene, who's named four times in today's passage. Can anyone tell me why Mary is so important in this passage? What happened to Mary? No? I thought this was a church. Well, Mary, well, in Jesus' culture anyway, she wouldn't have been able to bear witness to seeing something and saying that it's true. They had no authority. Women had no authority in a court hearing, especially when they were just a solo witness. So why have Mary Magdalene and only one woman as the first people to meet the risen Jesus, the first person to meet Jesus? If Jesus' resurrection story was just a clever ploy by the disciples to create a following from themselves, they wouldn't have put a woman, and only one woman, as the first witness of seeing the risen Jesus. So why did John, again, place Mary at the very heart of this passage, a passage that sits at the very heart of the overarching Bible story, that Jesus died and rose to save us from our sin? Without logical acceptance of this event, Christianity would just be a historical event. So why did John place all this onto one woman called Mary? Why? Any ideas? Because it's just what happened. So the race recorded between John and Peter gives us hope this Easter morning. And now Mary's testimony about the risen Jesus gives us hope this Easter morning. If they had made it up, they would have turned to men because they were trusted. But in that time, the women were not able to bear witness. And yet, Mary does. And then the third Easter morning gift we have is about the linen and cloth left in the tomb that are mentioned five times in today's passage. Now you may be thinking, Simon, you can't place the hope of the world on some used linen. But go with me on this. After the resurrection, the authorities tried to discredit the resurrection claim. They suggested that Jesus' body had been stolen by someone, maybe the Jewish leaders or the Roman soldiers or even the disciples. But if you were going to steal a body, would you spend time unwrapping the body from the cloths and the clothes and folding the cloths neatly on the side of the tomb, on the inside the tomb, ready for the next tenant to come in? Or would you be as quick as possible and just get the body and run? What would you do? Would you get everything neat and tidy, or would you just go? If you're stealing a body, you would just what? You'd just go, wouldn't you? You'd just go. What would you do? We would grab the body and run. The other people who were blamed for taking Jesus' body were the grave robbers. But if it was them, they would have taken the linen and the cloth because they were the only items of value in the tomb. So the race recorded between John and Peter gives us hope this Easter morning. Mary's testimony about the risen Jesus gives us hope this Easter morning. And even the folded linen and cloths left in the tomb give us hope this Easter morning. In fact, wherever we look, there is evidence and reassurance that the resurrection story is true. But we don't have enough time to unpack it all this morning. I've just unpacked a few little elements from today's passage. But do grab me afterwards if you've got questions on that resurrection day. It's all there. Logic, reason, evidence for the risen Jesus, if we choose to be open to it. Before I close, let me just take us back to where we started. The cross isn't fair. An author and scholar, Michael O'Neill, says this, says that there is nothing fair about grace if we look at it through the lens of the cross. God's grace, and therefore Christ's cross, is not fair. At the cross, Jesus, who was wholly innocent, suffered and gave his life for the sake of those who are totally unworthy of his sacrifice, people like you and me. So the cross isn't fair, but it is loving, it is extravagant, it is life-saving, it is life-changing, and it is redeeming. because it leads us to Easter Sunday, this resurrection day. The cross isn't fair, but it is necessary. And so we thank God for what he has done in sending his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you and for me. As I begin to land this talk today, I don't want you just to take away some reasonable evidence for the resurrected Jesus. I also want you to know the personal call that Jesus offers you this morning. Jesus said, "Mary, Mary." And that was enough for her to turn to the risen Jesus with hope and faith. After this, Jesus appeared to his disciples and he did the same thing. Peter, John, Thomas. I know you've got doubts, but come and see the holes in my hands and my feet. And he's saying to them, "I am here. I am alive. I am the resurrected one." But he calls us this morning as well. Sue, David, Val, James, Margaret, Nigel, I could go on for a while. Joe, Brian, Helen. He's calling us by name. He's calling you by name. He wants you to know him. Will we open our hearts and invite him in? If you want to step into a relationship with Jesus this morning, or just to renew yourself, maybe you felt distant from God for a while and you want to recommit yourself to Jesus, then we're going to have people at the back and at the front to pray for you. If they could get into their places now, that would be great. But there's people who would love to pray for you this morning to receive the gift of Jesus. You may not have all your answers, all your questions answered yet, but you've seen enough evidence to say, "Yes, I'm in." Or maybe if you've still got lots of unanswered questions, but you're curious about why we believe in Jesus and you want to find out more, then we're running what's called an Alpha course. It's a free course. It's 10 weeks long. You get flyers at the back as you go out. But it's an introduction to the Christian faith. It allows us to unpack why we believe what we believe. And it gives you or anyone a chance to think about what life is really about. What do you believe? And it gives us time to get a bit of teaching, but also discussion rounds. So if you wanted to find out more, come speak to me or Richard, anyone who has lots more cream eggs up his pocket, and grab a flyer on the way out. You can sign up online on our website, stmarksholbrook.org.uk/alpha, be able to see exactly what it's about. So if you haven't done Alpha before but want to do it, sign up. If you've got a friend that you want to bring them along, it'd be great. If you're visiting church this morning and you want to find out more, then sign up. We'd love to see you there. I'm just going to play a 1-minute clip showing what Alpha is about.
In the modern world, there's not much space for life's big questions.
Oh my God.
Is there a map to this?
Not much time to decide for. Why am I here?
I don't think there's more to life than each other. I think we are the point.
Is there more to life than this?
Some people dream of finding happiness through money.
I like cars.
Something awakened me. It was a realization I would never find happiness where I was looking for.
Where's God in this?
Growing up, I've lost a lot of people. I would lack an answer for that.
Are you real, God?
What's the point in prayer?
What's the purpose behind all this?
We all have different perspectives on the meaning of life.
Does faith do more harm than good?
It takes a lot for me to trust someone.
The Alpha Film series makes space for the big questions. Each episode unpacks a new topic and gives you time to explore what you think. Try Alpha.
So that's a little bit about Alpha, and just, you know, we provide meals and drinks and the nights that we're gathering. It started on Tuesday the 30th of April. Do let us know if you want to find out more. But if we're able, should we stand? Let's stand and just pray as the music team come up. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you not only sent Jesus to give us life, but that you've laid out bits of revelation of your loving story. You have provided the evidence, the reason, the logic. And it still sometimes is a big step. I pray that you would enable us to step into your love this morning, that we will know the truth of your resurrected Son and the love that he has for us. Amen.